Hey guys, welcome to another High Level Experience podcast episode. Super excited to have you with us again listening. If you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're here for the second, third, fourth time, awesome. We're glad that you like the show. Today we don't have a guest, but when we don't have a guest, we dive straight into a particular topic. And today's topic is all about customer experience and how that is important and how that can influence your reputation, increase conversions, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, customer experience is super important. So, you know, I run a software company, ChatHQ. You have your agency. You got a whole bunch of customers. And I think like anyone out there that's listening, maybe you don't have a lot of customers right now, or maybe you do. And if you don't, you probably don't understand the real significance of customer experience, customer success, and customer support obviously plays into that a lot. Customer experience and customer success can break down to a few things, essentially just communicating with your customers and giving them the best experience possible in the application, right? If that bleeds into success, where it's like somebody needs help, and you need to be able to give them help and provide them a solution, that's obviously something you need to do, but you can provide all kinds of things like customer feedback loops and optimizing the way that you interact with customers or how you deliver value to customers. And that is really customer experience in a nutshell outside of software, right? A lot of the people listening to this, you don't build high level. You're not doing much in high level to change the way that it feels to customers. Like you can, but you're not building in the application. Okay. But yeah, I think that's a great kind of jumping off point is like, how do you really speak to your customers, get them to interact with you, give you feedback on your processes, give you feedback on your product, give you feedback on what they like, what they don't like, so that you can make better judgment calls and better data-driven decisions that produce better results in the future for
100%
the next customer. Yeah.
Yeah. Fundamentally, this is applicable to any business, right? If you want to be good in business, if you want to have sales, if you want to have recurring customers, you need to create those experiences that not just are like, okay, but they'll really like wow them and they come back for more. I heard somewhere that's what the brand is. Like a brand is not your logo, it's how customers perceive you. And that perception is very much based on the emotional experience that they had. Yep. What I like to do is think about, okay, what is like the good standard level of quality when it comes to providing that service to your customer? And trying to make sure that I meet that for sure. But then look at how can I do something above and beyond so that I can over deliver and never advertise it.
Right.
You can advertise that extra that you want to go over so that you've got like a unique selling point. You're going over and beyond. But then you still want to have the aspect of over deliver that they didn't expect, because then they come in for something they like. This is so cool that there's nothing else like that on the market. This company is providing me so much. And then you go above that. Holy shit. Because that gives you like that like they're already in it. They're already getting that amazing experience. And now it's boom. Like you just give them like an extra.
You give them much more. Yeah. You give them much more to like simmer in. Like they're sitting in that pool of experience of the experience with you as an agency or as a SaaS company, right? They're sitting in it. And so if you turn the fucking temperature way down in the water, they're going to want to jump out. But if you keep that water nice and perfect and then give them something, maybe you bring them a drink. Like I'm making this analogy like they're sitting in a jacuzzi or something, but you bring them a fucking drink and they're like, whoa, I didn't order a drink. Hey, this one's on the house. So that experience. And if you think about it from that perspective, like hospitality, hotels do this perfectly, right? Well, the good ones. Obviously, there's plenty of shitty ones. But the good ones will turn around and say, listen, don't worry about that. We got you covered. You got a free upgrade. Hey, don't worry about that. We'll comp the bill. We'll comp the food. We'll comp the drinks, whatever it is. And they know that you coming back six times in the next year is more valuable and more important to them and their reputation and, like you said, their brand than fighting an upgrade, fighting a drink charge, fighting a bill, right? That's just not important. And so that's directly related to somebody disputing something, but they'll do those things no matter what. They'll just go to you and say, hey, you're a valued customer of ours. We're going to hook you up with this, because they know that if you get that warm, fuzzy feeling inside, you're not going anywhere. It's funny because my dad is visiting right now from Chicago and he's at the exact same hotel. that he goes to every single time he visits. So because they take care of him, they give him an upgrade, or that he loves the spot and Jacksonville's right on the beach. And you can do that for your business. You keep people coming back. I did that for my agency. I was always doing something that made sure they did not feel neglected. They didn't feel like, oh, I'm just another number in this guy's book or another cog in the wheel, right? Yeah. And so if you do that, they feel special. They understand that their money is going towards something that is actually valuable to them. And because most of the time, the thing that they're getting is valuable. If you buy a software, odds are you bought it for a reason, right? There's value in it. But what's the unseen value, like the behind the scenes value that they're getting that they didn't know they were going to get?
And it doesn't always have to be something that costs you a lot of money. It could just, in that case of hospitality, just going to a restaurant, being served by somebody that is very approachable, smiling, the waitress is just really being awesome. That doesn't cost anything. But that experience is just like tenfold.
I just jumped on a call yesterday and he's like, oh, I got the man himself. I was like, yeah, dude. I'm like, I want to make it seem like, yeah, I'm here because I'm helping. I'm for you, man. I'm here for you. But we don't have a sales team, so it's just me. But the point is people don't expect that. Like, holy shit, I got the CEO. Like, what? It's like the high level experience talking to Sean. Like, Sean's in the Facebook group. Why the fuck is Sean constantly commenting in the Facebook group? It's important to be in front of the veil or like the curtains. Like, you don't want to hide behind that. And a lot of companies have done that. No matter if you're a software company or not, the executives hide. They push this this responsibility or this, I guess it's a responsibility. They push the responsibility of being front and center to customers to somebody lower than them. And then they want them to go up the ladder and say, what did that person say? Tell me exactly what they said. Just go talk to them yourself. Go have a conversation with somebody. It will make them feel like the restaurant example you were saying, the manager coming out. Holy shit, I'm talking to the manager. The manager came out, he's saying, hey, how's your meal? They do this at fancy steakhouses. They'll make rounds every night. I used to be a host, like the guy that checked people in and stuff. And the manager will come out and they'll say three or four times a night, they'll make rounds. Hey, my name's Jim. I'm the manager here. I just wanted to say, I hope you have a fantastic meal. If there's anything you need, you let me know. I'm here right in the back. You tell the server, go get Jim. First name, you're on first name status, with him. He physically came out and spoke to you and made an effort to tell you hey, I'm here for you. I got you. Don't worry. These things have insane impacts on the human brain. It's human nature. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, when I was 18, I went to Greece to work as an apprentice because I was learning to getting qualified as a chef. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 4 months, and the head chef of that hotel, whenever we would serve the food, and it was all buffet style food for the hotel guests. Once everything was laid out and food was organized and the guests started coming in and sitting down and all that, he would go around the guests and just do fun stuff with their kids, talk to the parents, just making them welcomed and just talking to them, talking about the food that was prepared for them today. And just, he was a bit of a entertainer as well. He was really good at it. That's not normal. That was amazing for the guests. That was the thing that they would always come back for, because his name was Costa, right? He was this older dude. So they were family, mostly German guests, families, and they would be coming back every year, they told me. These guys, they'd be here five years in a row. They come here every year because of Costa. They love this hotel, but it's because of Costa. Everybody loves Costa. He goes around and he's just that's not normal, for a chef to come out of the kitchen and talk to everybody. So it's really cool. It doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything. Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, because there is a huge liability for yourself as a company or for yourself if you have that type of person, like a Costa in your company. Mm-hmm. There's a huge liability if you feel like you have to get rid of them. Or for example, if I'm doing all this stuff and then I stop doing all this, there's this type of liability that exists. If I stop, what effect is it going to have? If I fire this Costa, what effect is that going to have on my customer base? So it's like a dance, right? You have to balance it out. But at the end of the day, it's if you can figure out a process that works, that's almost like perpetual, like evergreen, that can work for you for a long time, and you just keep delivering that type of value that makes people coming back over and over, the sky's the limit at that point.
Yeah, because on the topic of like over delivering, that's a good example, but not a good example when it comes to scalable and longevity and making that a secure business. Because like you said, Ghost that could drop off any minute and boom, and now you're in the shit.
Ghost had died. Sorry guys, they were never coming back.
Yeah, and then you can't replace that type of personality. So I've got this snapshot that I sell. It's called a reputation management system, and then the next one right after that I sell as part of my profit roadmap modules, because they click onto each other, is the referral marketing system. And I've been asked like a lot of times, hey, because they are all in a sequence, like you get reputation, once you do that, then you do the referral. And, hey, why can I just do the referral one? Because people think, oh, I just want the leads. And the referral is, that's a closer path to getting the leads. And I always say no, because when you think about it, you do want to make sure that you have a good litmus test in place. And that is reputation. So if you can gather, if you can have an automated system that asks you for feedback, and mostly that feedback is positive, and that then leads to them submitting 5-star reviews, that's a great indicator that they are more likely to get you referrals, right?
Right.
And you shouldn't be doing it the other way if you don't know what the reputation is, what the customers are thinking about. Because if it's the other way, they're not really that happy. You know, they're like already on the edge of, or already on the fence, maybe leaving you. And then you hit them up with an email. Hey, do you know somebody who could you refer us? Like, you're asking me for more business, yet the service that I'm receiving is like subpar. So that's it. That could just turn them off the edge. So I think that's always think about a good litmus test. And like in that, I'm very systemized, like minded. So it makes more sense to me that you ask for feedback, make sure that you act on that feedback, because feedback is very valuable. And especially if it's constructive feedback, both positive and negative, because if you act on it, you can improve your services, and then you can turn more of those negatives into positives. You fix those things up, and then you lead that into asking for referrals. It's like you earned your right to now ask for referrals.
Yeah, I know people do that too often. They ask like too early. They'll just think that they're entitled, like to a conversation before we started this podcast. They think they're entitled to this type of success, customer reviews and feedback and referrals and stuff. You're not. You have to earn it. You have to do the right thing over and over so that people truly understand that like they aren't actually spending time giving you a referral or feedback or review. They're doing it because they're so fucking happy and they're so like satisfied with the type of service you give them. They do say that people that are angry will leave more often will leave a review, a negative review, than people that are happy leave a positive review. There's like a larger threshold. If you think of like the bell curve, if you think of an angry customer, you have this huge segment of the bell curve, or just let's just say it's like a scale. You have this huge segment of this scale, this bar that is angry. Like we will leave a review if we're in this, and it's going to be a negative review. And then you have this like segment that's we're happy, we're satisfied, but we're not yet compelled to leave a review. Like it doesn't just come out of us. And then you have this like tiny segment where you don't even have to prompt them to leave a review. They just feel like I want to help this company because they're doing such a good job. But that segment of that scale is so small, you really have to push people into that, and not physically. You know what I mean? Like not telling them to go do it, but doing the right things over and over. And then getting them to that point. Because if you fuck up once, they'll end up in the other side and probably leave a bad review or something.
100%. And that's what you call an evangelist, right? Very overlooked thing. Mm-hmm. It's like people, businesses like just want to generate leads. Oftentimes they think about the front end, generate leads. But when you think about that whole customer life cycle, it's generate leads, convert them to become a customer, then amaze them with the experience of being a new customer, the new service that they're receiving, then nurture them into a long-term customer. But eventually you want to turn them into an evangelist, because that is somebody that, like you said, they love your brand, they love the service, they will refer, they will promote you in the world naturally, organically. It's just, so I think that is a really good thing when we bring back to high level, like building these offers for businesses and these automations and what we can offer, is if you can create a system that is not just promising the front end, but also helping plug the holes in the bucket. So more customers you help generate for the business, more that customer base is going to grow. It's not going to fall out on the back end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So customer experience, customer success, stuff like that. Let's talk about some move the needle stuff. It's like things we can do to get achieve this, because we talked about the concept.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about what, if anyone listening, what can you actually do to achieve this like concept, right? So I think one of the first things is great customer support. Now, unfortunately, especially in the position of ChatHQ or small companies, it's very hard to do that. Even someone like as big as, and this is your beef today, but I'm sure, but as big as someone like ChatHQ, I'm sorry, high level, it's very hard to properly provide the right customer support. Okay. Fortunately, for most people listening to this, high level agencies, you get the benefit of having like Extendly or someone in that field, Growthable. Okay. Someone that's going to step in and do it for you. So that's, you know, you're spoiled. No offense, but there is that factor of like being spoiled. It's very hard to build that. It is incredibly hard to build a support team, to train them, to manage them. The amount of money, the amount of resources, the amount of time to do that is incredibly hard, right? So ChatHQ, we don't have a support team. It's me and my co-founder, and then we push any bugs to developers. And that's only because we aren't a big company. We don't make enough money to just go, here's a shitty product, and we're just going to pay all of our resources into helping you with bugs, right? Our goal is to build a better product so that we can eliminate a lot of those bugs, and you won't have as much of a need for customer support, and then use automation or use AI or whatever for customer support. A lot of times that just doesn't cut it, or it doesn't cut it for a long time. There's like a time period that you can do that for. Funny enough, I'm looking at a negative review of ChatHQ's, and it was about customer support. And where we ran into issues is there's a lot of like fragmentation in the world we live in, like products and services and stuff. So for example, like ChatHQ sold something that had no connection with our main software portal. So people couldn't see their billing, right? So if somebody wants to cancel, they can't just go in and cancel unless the subscription was for that main software product. So we dropped the ball there, and not having a team, if I'm busy and I'm working, I don't see an email, I don't see a text, whatever, people are forced to do things like chargebacks or whatever. And I think we've only had 10 chargebacks in 3 years, something like that. And we've issued refunds for other people that would have had to do a chargeback or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's what are you going to do? There's only so much you can do. All right. So if you're looking for a move the needle in customer support, I would say if you're obviously a high level agency, get Extendly, get Growthable, get something like that. If you want to do some in-house stuff, get a couple of VAs you're probably going to pay a couple $1,000 a month. You got to train them. You got to manage them. You got to do all this stuff. It may mitigate some of those like situations like that we were in where someone just isn't getting a response. There's nobody there. There's no gatekeeper. And then obviously AI, right? Implement AI and let AI be the gatekeeper. Let it do the work for them. So what do you think? What's if you could say something that our listeners could implement for customer support in terms of moving the needle?
Yeah. So on that specific topic, I built something, and a bit of a shameless plug, but I built something that kind of helps, because think about what is the task at hand and what is the expected outcome. So for task at hand, what is like an example of an experience would be I sign up for someone's software, right? So somebody, when people sign up for my version of high level, right? Stand out from the, I always, when I build these things, I'm trying to think in their view, if I was in their shoe, what would be like a normal thing to expect? And then make sure that I build that into it. So if I sign up, I pick a plan, it should take me to a thank you page. That would be like the first thing, because I want to make sure that there's something on the back end telling me that, confirming that everything is hunky-dory, everything is good, everything's come through okay. I would expect to get a welcome email. I would expect to get all the onboarding information so I can understand, like, where do I process my billing? Where do I do this? Where do I ask for support? Where do I seek information as a new customer? So that would be like the first thing. Have a really one email that has everything, explaining them everything. Like, here's where you do that. Here's where you do that. All that. And then when it comes to the next step is, okay, now you've signed up, is to perhaps give them a call that they didn't expect. You can have an email that says, hey, the next step for you is to book an onboarding call, right? So that could be there, automated, and buttons for them to click on and book that onboarding call. But that could be a supporting mechanism that's scalable. And then you come over the top of it as the owner and you call them. And they wouldn't have expected that. So now that's adding an extra like over-deliverability kind of thing. And that could just be like a really short call. Hey, Andrew, really great to have you on. It's Vid here. I see that you just signed up. I know you're going to be probably booking a probable onboarding call with either myself or somebody. I just wanted to give you a quick call right now to make sure that I know about you. You've come through the woodworks to us and it's awesome to have you. Something that could also just be a voice message or something. Doesn't have to be a call. And then, okay, now that's that experience already amazed. Hopefully that's going to make them feel they're being taken care of and things are happening. But then the next thing is now we need to set up the account for you. And here we go into the whole technical world, right? Integration, set up a phone system, A2P 10 DLC, or if you're in Australia, regulatory bundle, the email, like all these different subdomains for all these different features now in high level, right? There is a lot and it can get really technical. And how do you support that customer in setting it up? You could totally have Growthable, Extendly, one of these guys that could do it all for you. But what I did is I looked at it, how I can make it most, like how can I stretch high level to the maximum without having to rely on these third-party partners? Because I know I will get them at some point, but how do I make it systemized on my end first as well? So that kind of, when I do get them, then that actually stacks on top of it. And now you've got both the onboarding that's handled itself through automations and funnels and like info pages, mm-hmm. along with the actual support, like live support. So what I did is I created, you sign up and it takes you to a page. And this is, if you're listening, this is, I want you to take this as an idea and build it for yourself. You are then taken to a form, account registration form, right? Where I do need to gather, I need to understand your business. Hey, Mr. Customer, so what do you do for business? What are your services? What are your products? How many people do you have in your team? Like a lot of questions, right? And you couldn't ask those questions before they made that purchase because that could be a friction and that would decrease conversions. But now they already made the purchase, so they're invested to actually fill it in. So then when they fill it in, after that, it takes them to a page where it says, awesome, so you've just completed the account registration form. We've got the information on board so we can help you make sure that we've got properly set up the business settings because that there's a compliance requirements. And this is all things like for later, because when you set up the A2P 10 DLC, you actually do have to have the business settings properly, you know, set in place for those things.
Yep.
And they don't know it, but we do. So that's why it's there. And then you take them down a rabbit hole. Like, here's the next thing on the next step. And what I did is I created pieces of a puzzle, like little icons. And there's 12 different things that need to happen from, what's it called? From hero to hero. What's the saying? The zero to hero, yeah. Sorry,
zero.
So, to go from zero to hero, right? Zero, you haven't got anything automated and you want it. You want to use this system. All right, let's get you there. But we do need to set up the account. We do need to plug in all those integrations. We do need to set up all the telecommunication systems in place inside. And we need to onboard your team, right? So you need to also make sure that there's really good change management in place. Because getting a software like high level for any business, it's a big, steep learning curve. And if you got employees as the end customer, I'm talking here, right?
Right.
If you got employees and you as the business owner have come across this white label JHL agency and this is like cool and you decide to sign up for it, but you don't make your employees part of that process, they're going to feel like you don't really give a fuck about their opinion because ultimately who's going to be the one that's going to be leading the software, using the software day-to-day basis? It may be you, the business owner, if you're like micro business. But if you've got admins, if you've got admin employees, things like that, they really need to be the one that are going to be logging in, using it on a day-to-day basis. So if you come across and you just say, all right, now guys, this is a big change. Now I want everybody to use in this. And you haven't made that part of that process. They're going to feel you don't really give a shit about what we think. And we are the ones that are actually doing the day-to-day. It would be nicer if you came to us and say, hey, you've decided to go ahead in this thing, but you want to make us part of that process so that we can, you know, give feedback and things like that. So that's what I did. It's like, when it comes to those 12 steps, okay, well, here's the things that we as the agency, we need from you, Mr. Customer, but here are the other things that we need to do to make sure that you're going to be successful, to make sure that your team is properly onboarded as well. So what I did is the first thing is the onboarding call, just me and the business owner. But then as soon as that happens, the next thing I want to know is who are the people in your business that work for you? which of them have more sales-oriented roles, which of them have more admin-oriented roles, and which of them are more like managerial roles. All right, let me help me understand it. And the next thing, can you please, Mr. Customer, organize, I've got this button here, so you can add everybody here as guests to that meeting, and do a proper team welcome session where you lead the meeting, you introduce me as a new potential strategic partner, and then you hand off the rest of the meeting to me, I introduce myself, you introduce me to your employees, and then I will lead the rest of that meeting explaining to your employees the power of this new software that we're about to set up. Make them feel understood that this, make them realize that this is not about them losing jobs. Make them understand that this is about enhancing their jobs and show them right. how it's going to enhance the job. So basically get everybody excited. That's the goal of that right. basically a call. Make everybody excited about this new opportunity, because then everybody is going to be like congruent with that moving forward. Nobody's going to be causing frictions, right?
Right.
Then we need to go into all the technical, right? So I don't know if that, there's so much more we could talk about.
There is, yeah. Like it goes on for, the problem that I see with a lot of the stuff implementing it. So for anyone listening, it's always something else. Like you got to prioritize, right? So what you were just talking about with your snapshot, like you put so much into it. So you're taking a lot of the guesswork out of what your customers, people that buy your snapshot, have to do, at least for certain segments of it. But then there's things like right now I'm building feedback surveys. So micro surveys in Hotjar. And these are things that like live in my, in the ChatHQ portal. And they're, so for example, a feedback button where it's like, they can give me feedback wherever they're at in the app about something. And then there's micro surveys, which are like, I choose where these pop up. And then I'm very specific about what these surveys are to gather certain information. And then I can do that in the app. I can do that via email, send a link. They open the link and it's a feedback survey and stuff, like recording software, heat map software, all that. The Hotjar does all of that. So just that right there can trigger things like going into customer interviews. So it's one thing after another. And you have to have this kind of holistic approach to it where the end goal is understanding feelings, emotions, and intent from the customer, trying to gather that information and analyze it. So gather it all in one place and analyze it, and then be able to make actionable like decisions and take action from that, right? So whether it's like the entire snapshot and there's things that are happening throughout the snapshot, and then using things like feedback or even if it's a recording and going into the recording and saying, oh, I saw this, because of that, I'm going to go do this. So there's so many opportunities to enhance customer experience. And it's a never ending thing. Like it'll never, you'll always run into situations where it's not good enough for somebody, but that somebody and it not being good enough for them might show you that other people are also experiencing that. There's a hole, a gap in your process. So you always got to be on the lookout for that for sure.
100%. There's always going to be edge cases. But what you don't want to do then is think about, okay, people go all sorts of different ways. So like, why would I even bother to have something that so like structured that way? But then
yeah, you can't do that.
My argument is like, well, you do, because you have to have a certain path. So there's a clear roadmap for your customer. This is how we do things. This is what we want you to do. And then you deal with the cases as well. And you take that input, optimize. But if you have nothing, then that's not scalable at all.
No.
It's something you can fall back on that, and then you deal with the edge cases.
And it's funny too with AI. So it's easier now than ever to do some of these things on like automatically. So obviously there's snapshots, high level, there's third parties like Extendly and Growthful, whatever. But the idea is you can accomplish so much with just AI. If you just take a little bit of time under, prioritize something like customer support or success or experience, whatever it is, and prioritize that enough to build an AI bot, expose that AI bot via SMS or live chat or Facebook Messenger or whatever it is, and give your customers that initial warm and fuzzy feeling, you can mitigate a lot of the cost or the time spent doing other things because you just took some time to do that. So you don't, like what you're saying, don't ever just say it's not important enough to spend time doing. Even for us, like when we don't have a support team, but we have automation in place that relays tickets to GitHub, and then our team can see and get our engineering team can see things in GitHub if me and my co-founder like tag it in a certain way. So there's still things in place. We're not just saying, yeah, send us a message and we'll get to it. There's still enough importance and priority on it that
it needs to have something in place so that you can go do other things and work on other things.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, man. So that's moved the needle. Yeah, go check out. I would say check out, obviously check out Extendly, check out Growthable if you're looking for customer support, HL Pro Tools, stuff like that. If you're looking for feedback, product feedback, customer interactions and interviews and things like that, go to Hotjar. Hotjar is a fantastic software. You'll probably pay a few thousand dollars a month if you want a really good plan. I'm sorry, a few thousand dollars a year, not a month. If you want a really good plan, it turns out to be what, like $300 a month or something like that. And you pay yearly, you get the discount. But you'll get a lot of usability and functionality out of those bigger plans in Hotjar. But even at its base level, you can do a lot of things like customer feedback surveys, right? All that stuff.
You can, and one of the common like industry standard ones is called the NPS, right? It stands for Net Promoter Score, right?
Exactly.
It's zero to 10. And then what is it? Like 0 to 6 are detractors, 7 and 8 are passive. And it's really the 9 and 10 that are actually going to be the promoters. And you can totally build it. I actually build that inside my high level, my snapshot. So you've got like 0 to 10 and an email. And they, one of those numbers is each own individual trigger link. And then based on which one they click on, it takes them down different paths to either flag that this is potential detractor or flag that this is potential promoter, in which case then push them into another automation that requests a referral, because that's what they said. A lot can be done with automations. Yeah.
Yeah, man. 100%. Cool. So you want to geek out a little bit or do you want to jump into some beef? I got about 20 minutes left. So.
Yes. I want to go straight to beef, but I guess we can geek out on something. Let's have a quick look here. What do we got here, Sean? There was something that you released recently and I liked it. So you should go here.
I like the new SEO suggester, that like little thing that pops up on the website that gives you more insight into like your title on your page, the description, the keywords, all that stuff. It's, there's essentially, obviously, if you haven't seen it, I'll try to describe it. It's like little check marks underneath what you're adding. So if it's a title to the page, the web page or the funnel, there'll be little like check marks, like the page needs a title, doesn't. It'll say, hey, there's a little caution symbol here, right? The title should be under 70 characters, right? If you do that, it'll have a little check mark. Title and domain name are unique or so, right? Like things like that. So it's guiding you down that path of SEO because it never had that before. And WordPress and all these other site builders, they usually have some sort of SEO component where they're like, hey, do this way. And it's going to be best optimized for SEO.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Yeah, because that was one thing I always loved about SEO Yoast plugin in WordPress, that it had all these indicators. And in high level, it wasn't there. It was there. You could populate those fields, but it wouldn't tell you like whether you're on the right track or not. Now, here's a little hack for you, for those of you guys listening. You can use custom values in the SEO title and SEO description. I've tested it and works quite well. So I do, as a default, I put the name of the, what's it called? The author, I think, author field. I do put the location.name custom value, because then it's, you can just have it for your clients when you're loading up snapshot with preset webinar websites or funnels. It's already there. But yeah, there's that. And then what I also like to do is, and that's a really handy one, is to do no index, no crawl.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't want the page to be followed by Google crawlers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's handy.
There's the XML sitemap too. Like you don't need to add a page to the sitemap. You can go in with high level, choose which pages are actually in the XML sitemap. So like Google always crawls the sitemap. It's really huge for SEO. It's right for discoverability. So you can like, if you have a bunch of funnel pages, like Trader Shoe's website is like 50 pages and half of them aren't even built yet. So we just exclude them from the sitemap. Right? So
what if you do both? Can you do both? Is it going to be a problem?
Yeah. The thing is like, the only reason the no crawl matters is if there's links to that page. So for example, if I'm building a page and there's no links to that page on my main website, that means when Google crawls my main site, they're not going to find that individual page, like the hidden page, because there's no links to it. It's not just going to randomly find it. So yeah, if it's in the XML sitemap, the crawler will find it. It'll end up there. But if it's not in the sitemap and there's no links on your main website to that page, it won't end up crawling it.
And if it does find it, that means that could be indexed on search engines, which is sometimes you wouldn't want that, especially if it's like a thank you page, things like that, or behind the wall content that should only show up if people opt into an evergreen webinar or things like that. So it's a handy thing to do. Yeah. And I think it's the Google bot. There's two of them you need to put in if you're going to go down that path. Or you could go like what you're saying is you do the sitemap exclusion on pages. But if you go through the funnel, there is, let me just click here, open up a page here. So you just go and click on, let's see, funnels. And I will include a screenshot of this. Come on. All right. So you click on, say, if you're a website builder or a funnel builder, you click on the SEO metadata. And then you go down to content, scroll down. So that's the SEO content title and description. Keywords are there as well. The author, that's the one that I mentioned. Social image, links and tags. Oh, yeah. So it's under links and tags. It's way different than it was before, but it's under links and tags. And you just click on add custom meta tags. And you want to add two meta tags. The first one, you call it Googlebot. So the name of it is Googlebot. And then the content will be no crawl, no index. So no crawl, and then what's the, comma, and then no index. And then the other meta tag will be Googlebot. Sorry, and one is Googlebot and one is robots. Anyway, that's how you do that. So I'll put a little screenshot there because it's a little handy thing in that. I do that. Yeah, a lot of funnels now, so it's handy. All right, the other thing I like is the, let's have a look here, date formatter options. There's a lot of new stuff. Custom value picker inside funnels and websites. That's a good little nifty thing. I've got a note with a list, like a big table of all the different default custom values. So I can just pick it from there when I'm building sites and then just plonk that in. But the fact that you can just pull it out of a picker definitely speeds things up. I like that. What else do we have here? Consent. Okay, you're going to like this one. I don't know if you've seen this one, but there is a new consent checkbox feature. Live for chat widget. I don't know if that applies to the live widget as well, but
yeah, say it one more time. The consent
checkbox here. So allows you to include a consent checkbox in your chat widget settings, which will be displayed on the chat window form when your contacts provide their phone numbers, email during filling chat widget form.
I gotta make a note of that. We gotta add that to ours.
So that makes HTTP/10 DLC and HIPAA compliance a snap.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, add consent checkbox for HIPAA. Yes, sir.
There's a lot of good stuff compliance-wise. The other one that was released just really recently, 6 days ago at the time making this podcast, is a new cookie. So you can now have the actual banner that shows up when people are visiting your website to let them know that they need to agree to your cookies or not agree, and then you can.
Yeah, so one thing that people need to know about that, so for example, if you're using ChatHQ, or something else on your website. If you're using something on your website that collects cookies and you show them that consent banner and they say no, then you will not be able to track certain things, right? So what you can actually do with that consent banner is just notify people so they don't have to click anything. You can just change it to where it's a notification. And I see this on hundreds of websites. They don't tell you, hey, you can turn off cookies, which if you're in a state in the United States that requires that, or you're like GDPR, I think requires that where they have to consent to it, then you have to do that. But for the most part, I think most states in the United States, you just have to tell people that you're collecting cookies. And I think like ChatHQ, we don't use cookies, we use local storage. So it wouldn't affect the way that ChatHQ is tracking website engagement. But for a lot of things, it will, right? A lot of things that use cookies. So be careful with that. If you need to, just use the notification that you're collecting cookies and you don't have to actually ask them to consent to it.
Because things like getting that visibility on the back end in a CRM where you can see which page they visited, that would disappear if they didn't opt it into that. Right? I assume that's how it should work. Otherwise,
yeah. So essentially it's certain things. It's not, I don't know if that falls in that, in line with that. So that might be also local storage. I don't know if that's cookies or not. Certain things are cookies, like, you got to remember a lot of, because of iOS, remember years ago, the iOS update that started messing with tracking. I can't remember exactly what was going on, but because of that, cookies have changed. A lot of people use different types of tracking instead of just cookies, because cookies, I'm not an expert in this, but I know that like cookies aren't always accurate. There's obviously the reason that there's like pop-ups like this for cookies is because there's a lot of laws and regulations around them, like holding onto that data, like tracking that data and holding onto it. So if it's in local storage, which a lot of people like ChatHQ do, it's stored, but then it's like when you're on a new device or you're on, if you have a hard refresh, you clear your browser data, that gets cleared. So you don't have to actually clear your cookies. A good example would be like, I log into Google every day. I don't ever clear my cookies. So Google always knows if I click that button, it's just, I'm already logged in. So that's like the depth of cookies. They can last significantly longer than local storage. I don't know the exact time frame, but that's probably why there's all these rules and regulations and laws around it, is because you can just store data forever in a cookie.
I think so, like California has like a special law.
Yeah, a lot of states in the West Coast do.
And then like European Union has some laws around GDPR, and I would assume that there's something to do with cookies as well. Staying compliant, avoid getting into litigations.
Yeah.
But then don't get so afraid that you don't do anything, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But it's there. So it's good. That option is there now. You don't have to look for a third party option. And
you always use ChatHQ if you need to, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. One more I do is the ability. So if you do subscriptions and you use Stripe and your customer changes credit card, let's say their credit card expires, you can now send them an easy link for them to update their payment method. So that was released on the 19th of March. And it's pretty powerful. It was also released if you're using NMI or authorized.net. That's also available. And yeah, basically you send a link to, there's like a quick action menu in the subscription list page under the payments. And you just send it off to your customer and whoops, your ankle. The only caveat to that is that they are time limited, those links. So they are only valid for 30 days. Just having that ability to just send it to your customer. Hey, it looks like your payment failed. And maybe your credit card is expired. Just click this link, update your details, and everything is good to go. As opposed to having to go to Stripe it just saves you time. So that's pretty good. What I would like to see, though, with this is if they also added it on the roadmap, and maybe it already is on the roadmap, but the ability to schedule a pause. So somebody, and this be a use case for me because I help a lot of gyms, and I'm trying to go down that path where I'm trying to like stretch high level as much as possible so that everything could be done with high level, as opposed to gym having to use another software for class scheduling and membership direct debits, and then high level as a separate for like lead and conversion, right? Anyway, so if there was that ability where you could click on the subscription for a particular customer and then set up suspension to start from date to end on date, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. That's all I got. Lots of new updates. Guys, if you're new to High Level, by the way, and you haven't heard of this fella called Sean Clark, he's the CEO of High Level. So in the first thing, you want to be in a High Level official community Facebook group, right? That's where things happen, right? So definitely add yourself to that group. And what you'll know is in the up the top, there are pinned posts. And if you scroll, and they're called features, you just have to click on that little drop down and see all the featured posts. And the ones that are coming from Sean Clark, like I said, the CEO, are a little Sean coming at you, a little update post where, and he does them every week. There's multiple of them during the day as well, where he basically just makes a really quick loom to explain what's the new thing that's been developed by the developers. And so that's a really good one to stay on top of, because as you stay at High Level for a while, you realize that this company is evolving at such a fast pace. And if you're not on top of these updates, it's very hard to stay educated, very hard to stay current with the solutions that you can then provide to your customers. And it could just be like, here's my recommendation, right? I've been at High Level almost 3 years, and it's been my almost religious routine when I get to the office in the morning, just brew coffee, go to the Facebook group and look at all the posts from Sean, because they're quick, right? They're like 2 minutes and might be like five for the last 24 hours. And I just watch them all. And then I go along with my day. And then later down the track, if I'm talking to a customer and they're talking about, hey, I would really like to, for the software, if you could do this or that, or it could be a prospect that is interested to sign up with me. And they're also like asking me what's possible. Because I've been keeping myself up to date and educated, I've got the edge. I could say, hey, yeah, absolutely, that's possible. If I didn't know it as well, it gives you competitive advantage just by looking at these and staying regular watching these. So that's inside the Facebook group community. Look out for Sean Clark coming at you. The other place where you can go is the ideas board. If you go to ideas.gohighlevel.com, And up the top, there's a big menu bar that says roadmap, feedback, or changelog. If you go to the changelog, that's a really good place to go into. And it's done in a chronological order. And it always shows you what are the most latest things that have released. So that's another way. And that's probably a lot more documented, there's a lot more context to what they've done as opposed to the videos from Sean. I like to look at both because Sean helps to explain it in very layman terms oftentimes. Whereas these changelog announcements, they can be sometimes a little more technical or hard to comprehend if you're new to this.
Yep.
Do you got beef?
Man. I don't know. I'll think about it. You throw your beef out there.
Okay. I've got a little beef that's just following on a trend. It's just so annoying that I have to be, it has to be that way.
It is. It follows the topic of the show, this episode though, customer experience, customer support.
Yeah. So right now I've been testing a workflow because one of my agency customers who bought my SaaS agency system was having struggle with, I've got this thing where like every time customer who's trying to onboard their account and goes through the setup process, if they, for example, request for their phone system to be set up, then the system will automatically update the status from requested to like I'm stuck or whatever. And then you get an email as an agency owner, you get an email that tells you like a list of those 12 actions, like I mentioned way at the beginning. And it gives you a little icon, like it's either like a green check mark because it's been good to go, or maybe a little cross to signify that they're stuck. Anyway, so you get this really automated email, so you always like keeping track of where your customers are. And then the customer gets one as well. What's been happening is those little graphics that come along with it, they're dynamically pulled in from a custom field. They no longer show up. They didn't show up. And I was like trying to figure out what's going on. And the way I programmed the snapshot was I was using those custom fields. It was a text-based custom field that holds the URL of that specific graphic. It was a square little graphic. And that would then render in an email as the actual endpoint URL for the image. So it worked fine. But since they changed that UI of the email composer and workflows, that has screwed it up. It didn't screw it up for me on my account, but on the snapshot, it did when he installed it later into the like account past that day when the new UI was already in place. So he was struggling to figure out what it is. And I spent about an hour in his account going through it. And I realized that you can still place that custom field, the key, into the image URL on the back end and save it. But then when you click on the image property again, that little icon inside an email, it's like it's blank again. So it's almost like it didn't save. So it's weird. But I've run a few tests and it looks okay and it works. But it's just the saving doesn't really save the what I put in there, if you guys would know what I mean. So that's the bug there. So I submitted a ticket and I said, hey, it no longer saves it in there. Like what's happening? And my frustration was that the reply from tech support was, hey, this feature is no longer there. It now has to be a URL for the system to save it. And the suggestion from them how to fix it was like to share an idea at the ideas board. So my reply was like, hey, I don't get why I need to submit this as an idea where this is a feature that was there before. And you can't just remove features. You can't just remove features that we built our workflows and snapshots around for years beforehand. Yeah. If there's like a specific technical reason why it no longer is supported. But otherwise, I really don't understand why it was removed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I actually said, hey, can you just get this escalated? Or otherwise, I'll have to tag Sean in the Facebook group because this is sometimes I think like some of the tech support or developers, they do something and like they're not willing to be that flexible to actually bring things back in. And you just sometimes have to tag the big guy. And Sean understands this stuff. Like often, like so many times I've done this and he would reply, oh, yeah, that wasn't supposed to be removed. So he himself might not even know that things like that happen. So you just got to flag it to him. But that's my beef. Like it's really impacting because, and this is still to do with the new UI on the email composer. I'm still uncovering these other additional things that are impacting the business, like this ability to add URL behind an image. Or what's another one? This other one was about a workflow. Right. Yeah. So this was actually, I was actually interested to see what you think about this, but you can have a workflow that can be run through multiple times for a contact, right? Like the contact can enter the workflow again later, at a later stage, right? You've got a little toggle in the settings. But you can't have a situation where the contact, if you have multiple triggers, where the contact can be added to that workflow at the same time and all of those occurrences will be still active. That's a bug.
Yeah. So the same context getting added multiple times at the exact same time?
Yes.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
And hasn't left the workflow yet. So they're all like...
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. So get this, right? I got a reply from tech support and they're like, hey, on investigating the workflow that you shared with us, it shows that the contact has entered the workflow multiple times. Duh. That's fine. You can check the below logs to see how the contact has entered the workflow. Seems like the contact was triggered multiple times to enter in. The below are the triggers which allow the contact to enter in. So he's just reiterating what I already know. But it's almost like he's saying, look, that's why I'm like, no, that's not right. That's not supposed to be that way. Because I've been using high level for 3 years and it should never be that way. It's literally, you even have that written in the settings when you're toggling on in a workflow, when you toggle on that feature, it tells you, yes, contact can come back into the workflow again after they've left the workflow. Because it's perfect. It's perfectly normal to have multiple different triggers.
If somebody's in there, there's things that are happening to that contact in the workflow. They might be like on step 5 out of 10. They should not be able to be re-entered into that workflow to do this first 5 things again. Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. So that's my beef. It's not even, I've got ticket open, so I'm not going to put it in an ideas board because that doesn't deserve to be an idea. It's a bug. Yep. But yeah, it's there. You uncover these things over time. You just got to be one thing. And it's very easy to be like, fuck this, like not another thing, and then just dismiss it and just move on and just try and work around it. It's, guys, if you're uncovering these things, I recommend that you just dedicate that time, stack your heels in and just push hard because these things do need to be fixed. And if we all do this, it's going to put a bit of pressure on the quality assurance back on the dev team and things will be better.
100%, dude. Couldn't agree more, I think. Bugs and things like that, like removing a feature, there needs to be proper identification or like notifications for the customers. For JSQ, for removing something or changing something, it's like we let them know ahead of time, especially with something as big as high level, like snapshots. Like if that's been a big thing for you, it's like if they change something and it fucks up all your snapshots, like how are you supposed to recover from that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So yeah, 100%, exactly. Dude.
Do you have a beef?
Man, I don't think I have a beef this week. I know they're in there somewhere, dude. There's always a beef, but I don't think I have one ready for this week. So name a pass on the beef this week. But yeah, I'll think of one for next week. I didn't come prepared this week for the beef. I've been building outside of high level the last like week or so, just doing all kinds of stuff. There's that. I haven't had a lot of time to be frustrated with high level this week.
Yeah, yeah. I've been spending a lot of time in developing this week and last week. Yeah, that's natural. Like guys, like if you have a beef, right? If you're listening to this, if you have a beef that's really annoying you and you want to give it a bit of extra light and get more upvotes, then make sure that you check out the beef segment where you can actually submit it. So if you go to highlevelexperience.com/thebeef, you can submit it there. All right. I think that's a wrap up for today. What do you think, Andrew?
Yes, sir. I think it's a good episode. Good podcast episode, guys. I'm sure you learned a lot about customer experience, implementing customer experience, customer support. That stuff's valuable, man. So if you're going to take anything away from this episode, it's get your shit together and put some in action and then you'll benefit greatly from it. So
yeah. Don't ask for referrals until you know that you've got a good reputation. Do that little litmus test. Ask for feedback. You can use Hotjar. You can use ChatHQ. You can, if you are trying to launch your own SaaS, you can check out my SaaS agency system, Snapshot, which has a lot of bells and whistles on my website. But yeah, a lot of these and the rest of it will be in the show notes. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, please share it with other fellow agency mates because more of us listen to this show, more of us contribute, more we all benefit. For show notes, links, and extra tips to help you grow your agency or your SaaS with high level, please go to highlevelexperience.com. Thank you and have a great rest of your day, everybody.
See you guys.